Psalm chapter 100. Psalm 100. We've been looking into this idea of being truly thankful and what the Bible talks about being thankful and how to be thankful at every time and every situation. And we've been looking at that and we've been trying to build on that a little bit. And last week we talked about the importance of seeing the goodness of God. And we spent some time on that. I hope it was helpful to you. It was helpful towards me. And the reality is the goodness of God is going to lead us to repentance. If we stay focused on the goodness of God, if we see God for who he is, we love God, understand God, we're going to be repentant of our sin. We're not going to want to have anything to do with it. It's because when we lose sight or we stop being thankful, when we stop realizing how good God is, our sin doesn't bother us. We don't consider that I am sinning against a holy God. We don't get where Joseph, and understand where Joseph was in Potiphar's house. Joseph loved the Lord so much and believed in God so much that when Potiphar's wife came, he says, I can't do that to my God. And it's got to get to a spot if we love God so much, we're not going to want to sin against him. There are certain people in our life that we feel like that we are so close to them. We love them so much. We desire to be a blessing to them and be an encouragement to them that we would not want to do anything to harm that person. No way, shape, or form. I'd harm somebody else before I would ever harm that person. And that's because we appreciate them. We love them. We see the goodness of them. If we would see the goodness of God and we would understand the goodness of God and what God's wanting and what God desires for us, then we would also come to this avenue and this way of understanding is that will lead us to repentance. The reason why a person gets saved is because they saw that they were sinners first and foremost. Well, I'm a sinner, but we saw what God did for them and the love that he had for them. And that goodness of the Lord brings them to the fact that I need to believe, I need to trust. And here it's the same thing that we learned last week. So this week we're going to try to build off of that and say the power of praise. So what do you mean build off of it? Well, we encouraged you, a few weeks ago about being thankful. We challenged you with that thought. And many of you left when they left. They talked about, hey, look, pastor, you know what? I never really thought about that. I always thought that I was a thankful person. But when you ask that question, how many times have you given thanks today? How many times have you told someone else about how good your God was and how thankful for you were? He says, when you ask that question, I thought about that. And he says, I wasn't really that thankful today. I consider myself a thankful person, but I really do not demonstrate that or show that. And that's where we got to this point, is that you're not going to live in your sin and be a thankful person because of the fact that you're not experiencing the goodness of God or seeing the goodness of God. So how do you get there? And I think one of the most important things is to understand is that we praise. You think about this word praise. It talks about how we are, how we're adoring him. We're lifting him up. What is something you can do here on earth that you're going to be doing for all eternity? It would be praise. What is something that you can do that the angels are doing today? It's praising the Lord. And when we get to the throne, when we get to God, when we get in the presence of God, I don't really even know you're going to get to the presence of God unless you're praising the Lord. You have to understand, you have to see him for his goodness. You have to lift him up. And as you lift him up and you see who he is, that's when you're going to truly adore him. That's when you're truly be thankful for him. That's when you're truly see that praise and experience that praise. Praising him is the one thing you can do now that you'll do for all eternity. And there's power in this praise. So what's the power that's in praise? The power in praise is that you are entering into the presence of God. And you say, Pastor, I thought we always are in the presence of God. We always are in the presence of God, but do you live consciously in his presence? It's what brings you into that presence. It's what helps you understand consciously, I'm in the presence of God and it matters. Because I'm in the presence of God, I don't want to treat people that way. And because I'm in the presence of God, I don't want to act like that. I don't want to say those things. I don't want to think about those things. I don't want this. I don't want that. Because it brings me to repentance because I'm in the presence of a holy God. And when we see this passage, it's talking about you come into his presence. You come in this and come. And so when we consider the presence of God, yes, we are always continually in his presence, but how often? How many hours of the day? How many days pass by? How many moments do we slip by without truly praising the Lord? Without truly stopping and saying, God, I want to lift you up. I understand that we're busy. But when we talk about praising the Lord, we actually are entering into the presence of God. And I think so many of us miss that. And because we miss that, we're not repentant of our sins. I can act whatever way I want. I can look whatever way I want. I can do whatever I want. I don't have to deal with this because I'm not praising the Lord. I'm not seeing His goodness. I'm not understanding it like the Holy Spirit of God wants us to. So when we come to this passage of Scripture, and once again, I don't know if you could talk about Thanksgiving for any period of time without coming to this. It's probably one of the more famous passages, and we've looked at this a number of times, and sure, around Thanksgiving season. But Thanksgiving and praise is something that should be not a once a year experience. It's something that should be thanks living, is that phrase that many times we've heard people say, you should live for thanks. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Let's have a word of prayer tonight and ask the Lord's blessing on this, on His word. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that You would bless Your word. Lord, that You would bless the message. Lord, it'd be Your thoughts, it'd be Your words coming through. And Lord, the Holy Spirit of God taking those thoughts and directing them and leading us, only He can. Lord, help us leave this place with an interest and a desire to meditate on You, meditate on Your word, and to be praise continually flowing out of our mouth. That, Lord, we would not spend hours and days without thanking and without praising, but instead we will begin to consider how You are worthy of all praise. As in this passage, it talks about the praise that's due Your name, the glory that's due Your name when it comes to Your goodness, when it comes to Your mercy, when it comes to Your truth. Lord, that we would learn and embrace those things. Help us tonight as we look into Your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I think and I look at this passage of Scripture, it comes to this moment in time that there's a lot of rejoicing that happens. I love the fact that it begins in the end of verse number one, it says, all ye lands. And then I love at the end, it says, to all generations. And the reason why I like those two things is because true worship does not change with place or time. It transcends everything. Why is that? Because true worship is the same everywhere, because we are worshiping the same God who has not changed. Now, the way people worship might change. The way people do things may change. But if we're worshiping truly the Lord God in spirit and truth, that's the type of praise we're talking about. That's the praise and worship we're looking for. Even in John chapter number 4, Jesus is there. He's talking to the woman at the well, and they're discussing back and forth. They're talking about worship. She brings up a spiritual matter. And Jesus said this. He says in John chapter 4, verse 22, ye worship, ye know not what. Ye worship, ye know not what. Now, I love that phrase because there are so many people today that are worshiping things. They put God there and they say, this is what I'm worshiping. But in all reality, they're worshiping themselves or they're worshiping a false God. And He looks at that woman and He says, you don't understand a word you're talking about. You worship, you know not what. And then He begins to say this. We know that we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Comes this moment, He says, there's coming a time and a moment that there are true worshipers that worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And this next phrase always gets me. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. He's looking for people that are going to truly worship Him, that will truly understand who He is, that would see His goodness, and that would be thankful for the situations in every moment of every day, in every situation, and that we would recognize who He was, and that it would become something that would be praise would continually come out of our mouth. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And true praise is understanding who God is, and then humbly falling to our knees and just praising Him for who He is. Because the more we understand God, the more we're going to love Him. The more we're going to respond in our worship. The more that we're going to say that we're thankful. Why is it? Because we understand every good gift and every perfect gift, it cometh from above. So let's look at this passage a little bit here. Let's look at a couple of things of what we worship with. And I know that this is not always going to be popular because the Word of God is not always popular. We like to think it is, but we worship our own opinions. We worship our own thoughts sometimes more than we worship the Word of God. But he says here, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And look what it says. Serve the Lord with gladness. So he's saying that there's praise that is needed. And when we praise him, we're going to serve the Lord. And then when we're going to serve the Lord, he says, one of your praise is going to show up when you're serving the Lord with what? With gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Now, don't get me wrong. I know there's a lot of people out there who are serving, but they're not doing it with gladness. I think sometimes we've missed that and we've forgotten that. Why is that? Because we forget the goodness of the Lord. There are certain people we would not mind helping and we would not mind serving because of a relationship with them. Maybe their children, maybe their grandchildren, maybe their great-grandchildren. There are certain people who have our hearts and we are glad to do whatever we can to be an encouragement and help to them just because of who they are. And here in this passage, he says, you should serve the Lord and you should serve the Lord with gladness. Why is that? Because you understand who he is. There's a passion there. There's a love there because of the relationship you have with him. And he says, serve the Lord with gladness. It continues on. Come before his presence with singing. There is a song that is on our heart. Why are we singing? If we're singing unto the Lord, it doesn't matter who hears us. It's because of the fact that we want to sing with our heart with because of who we love. Go to verse number 4. You see a couple more whiffs. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. It's you're truly going to get into the presence of God. It's not going to happen unless you're truly seeing who he is, unless you're praising him. You say, well, I just want to go in the presence of God. I want to get out of the presence of God. I just want to say my few prayer lines and get done. If you got sin in your heart, that's what he's saying. He's not going to hear you. If there's something in our heart, that's why we come before his presence. Why do we come before his presence? We come to before his presence with thanksgiving. We enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with what? With praise. We adore him. And that's where the picture and the disconnect is. The adoration has stopped sometimes. The thanksgiving has stopped. And because of that, we're not serving with gladness. And so, because of that, we've lost our song. We've lost our praise. And because of that, we're not letting the goodness of God lead us to that repentance because we've forgotten how good God is. Now, we would say, oh, I know how good God is. I sing about how good God is. Do we live it? Do we dwell on it? Is there sin in your life you're struggling with? Because if one of the best ways to get over that is by focusing on the Lord and focusing on how good he is, because that goodness of God is going to lead you to repentance. Now, there is discipline in praising. It's more than an emotion. It's an action. There is a discipline in praising. It is having a certain attitude toward God. The Word of God spends as much time talking about prayer as about praise as it does about prayer. But how much do we put asking versus praising? If we would spend more time praising him, our prayer list would be different. If we would spend more time praising and focusing on him and trusting in him and depending upon him, it would change how we ask for things. Now, our praise is something that we must be disciplined in that doing. And it's more than emotion. It's something we must learn to pass down to our children. We can't pass down emotion to our children. I mean, when God speaks to our hearts in a powerful way and who he is, they see the outgrowth of that. They see the things that boil over. They see how you react. And you can go all you want and talk about what God's teaching you and showing you, but that truth is something they must experience for themselves. We would love to be able to experience, be able to see salvation, get saved for somebody, but that's heresy. You can't get saved for someone. You can't pay somebody's penance. You can't get somebody out of purgatory because it doesn't exist. But at the same time, your relationship with God is something that your child or your grandchild or your friend, your wife, your husband, is something that has to become personal for them. But they see how you respond. They see how you act. They see the love you have for him. They see how much you worship God with your life. They see how much that you enter into his courts, as it says here, serve the Lord with gladness. And they see your gladness or they see your drudgery, whatever you want to call it. They're both words, I think. And they see that you come into his presence with singing, or they see that you do anything you can not to sing. They will see whether or not you have thanksgiving or you're focusing on all the bad things in the world. They will hear your praise more than they will hear your commandments. We got to remember that. We're entering into him. So Praise is powerful because of who we're praising. Look what it says here. And it's I like verse number 3. Praise is powerful because who we are praising. It says, know ye that the Lord is God. If we don't know that he is God and that he's in charge and he's the one that made us, he's the one that leads us, he's the one that feeds us, we're never going to praise him. But he says, know ye something. He says, you need to know something. The only way you're going to serve the Lord with gladness, the only way you're going to come before his presence with singing is that you know something. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are the sheep and the sheep of his pasture. I love that verse because it helps us understand just a powerful truth. I didn't make myself, and I should not determine how I should live this life. It's God who made me. And if God's the one who made me, he's the one that should lead me and direct me in every area of my life. And not only that, he's a good God, and he's someone we should love because of his mercy and because of his truth and because of his goodness. That should all lead us to repentance, but this verse is very, you did not make yourself. He's the one that made us, and we must come to this understanding. If we truly want to praise him, is that I cannot fathom and I cannot make up something of what God should look like and what God should be. This is the God I serve, and this, no. We come, he made us. And that's what he says. He says, know ye that the Lord, he is God, is he that made us, not we ourselves. Not only does he make us, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He's the one that leads us. He's the one that feeds us. He's the one that takes care of us. He is God. But that's what we're building it on. So how in the world do I get to this spot that I meditate on the things of God? He tells us to meditate day and night. He tells us that's when we're going to see good success. He tells us that's when we're going to be blessed. He tells us when we focus on his word, those things are going to happen. Because his word leads us to praise. His word leads us to him. Look, what praise is also powerful because of why we praise him. It's not just because it's God who made us and God's in control of us and he leads us and feeds us. But here in verse number 5, he shows 3 different things that we should bless his name with. As he says in verse number 4, into his gates with thanksgiving, into his heart, into his courts with praise, be thankful unto him and bless his name. Be thankful. And so we're supposed to bless his name. We're supposed to take time to worship him. We're supposed to lift his name up and bless it. Now, we all want the blessing, but God is the blesser. And we are supposed to bless his name. And he uses 3 different things here that I think are good. And we see 3 different reasons why we praise him. This reason why praise is powerful is because who we praise, but praise is powerful because of why we praise. The Bible says in verse number 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endure to all generations. Now, we have hundreds of different things to praise him for. We have hundreds of things to be thankful for. And we can sit down and we can begin writing and writing. You know what? I'm thankful for this. And we start physical things. And we start talking about spiritual things. And we start talking about the ways he's been merciful for us and the ways he's been gracious towards us and the ways, all the different truths we could write down. But I believe that you can pretty much, in these 3 different times, describe the different things that God has been, that we can praise him for underneath these 3 different headings that's found here, these great themes of the Bible. We praise him for his goodness. It doesn't say that we praise him because he's good. He is good, but he actually says, for the Lord is good. We don't praise him for the things he does. We praise him because he is good. I'm sorry if I said that wrong. He is good. We also, it says here, his mercy is everlasting. Now, God withholds things from us. He withholds wrath. He withholds judgment we deserve. All that God holds back from us. And we're going to look at that in a minute. But you think about it. His mercy, I love where it says it's everlasting. Lamentation says it this way. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. This day, God has fresh mercy for us each and every day. His mercy is everlasting. And then we think about it, it says, and his truth endureth all generations. We praise him for his truth. One thing that never changes is his truth. And once again, as I mentioned, you cannot pass on emotion to your children. You can pass on different doctrines, but for it to become true to themselves, they have to come to an understanding and a belief for themselves that it makes a difference for them. And you, they see that in the way you live. It's a way that we pass that truth on through the scriptures, but it's when they learn and understand it for themselves. God has given us his truth in his word. His truth does not change. So why do we praise him? And there are so many different reasons to praise him, but in these three different categories is a way to understand some of the great themes of the Bible and instructs us to praise him. So I had Brother Frank earlier pass out this little piece of paper, and it's nothing special, just has a few different things. Anybody not get one that wants one? And I guess raise your hand if you didn't get one, you want one. So Brother Frank or Brother Roy, can you give Miss Linda one? So on there it talks about a praise list. So I want to help us tonight begin a praise list and just think about this. Sometimes we're so busy, we don't take time to think. The last couple weeks, we've taken our during an invitation time to think about things and try to understand some things when it comes to things we should be thankful for. And with that understanding, I'd like to look at these three different topics and take a minute or two underneath each one, and you personally consider something that you can praise the Lord for in these different topics. First thing I want you to think of for is the praise is powerful because of why we praise him, and there's an evidence of his goodness. So I'd like for you to take a moment. I know this is a little bit unusual during the preaching time, but I think it's okay because we hear, we take in, but we don't often let it come out. We don't express that. Think about something when we consider the goodness of God. Now, the goodness of God. Think of one good thing that God has given you. It doesn't have to be a long list, but I want you to take a moment or two to think about it. The goodness of God, one good thing that he's given to you that you did not deserve. Remember, we don't deserve any good thing. Remember, everything, every good gift comes from above. There's nothing goodness about us. So take a minute to think about something that is good in your life that you really, truly don't deserve. It could be a wider range of different things, whether it be your family. I think sometimes people say, well, you got the family you deserve, and you know, when they're talking about bad things. But I'm talking about a good thing. Take the time to think about something that you would say, this is a good thing. And I would encourage you to write it down on your piece of paper. And take a second just to say, thank you, Lord, for the goodness of God. Praise him for that good thing for a minute. So, Pastor, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to show us how to develop a praise list that we will take time to just think about the good things. It doesn't stop here. Today's just one thing. And I'm not interested in you writing down as many as you can, but instead to take time to think, you know what? Because of God's goodness, I have maybe some limited health or maybe really good health. Because of God's goodness, I have a family that loves me. Because of God's goodness, I have the Word of God, the Spirit of God. But we would take time to just say thank you specifically for that one thing that shows the goodness of God. And that list could be long. Take the time to just think about it, because that's what the praise is. God, I want to thank you for being good to me. God, I understand that it's only by your goodness that I got these parents that helped direct me to the Lord. It's only by your goodness I was born in America. I mean, there's a lot of different things. Second thing is another great theme that's mentioned here. I think you could wrap, like I said, these three different things when you're praising the Lord. There's three different sections here, and I think all of them are important. There's an evidence of his mercy. His mercy is everlasting. Now, think of one mercy that God has shown you. Can you think of one evil the Lord has held back? One thing that could have happened to you that never did. One thing that could have come your way, but the Lord changed. He prevented it. He changed something. And like I said, take a minute or two and think about that. What's something in your life? This one got me as I thought about it. Because I know how bad, I know how wicked I've been in my life. I know all the things I've done in my life that are wrong, and God has forgiven me. Can you imagine how much God has forgiven us? Imagine if we got what we deserved. Man, I don't know, maybe you guys are more holy than I am or more spiritual than I am, but I know that there are a lot of things in this life that God has held back his wrath, and he's showed me mercy in so many areas. And I even began to think about the mercy that there's been a number of times when we were in near crashes, and how God's held back, you know, me being killed in a crash when a number of times I should have been killed in car accidents. And he's held that back. It was merciful. I didn't deserve it. And I began thinking, especially when it comes to those things, that how I treated someone. I didn't deserve his forgiveness. How I treated God all these times, and he's just been forgiving and kind and new. It's fresh every morning, and it's everlasting. So if you would just take some time to think about the mercy of God, and you think about something he's held back from you, something that is there's something that we deserved. Many times we put it and attach it to judgment, but something that he has held back from us that was for our good. His goodness is talking many times about his grace, things we did not deserve, but he gave us. His mercy is things that we did deserve, but he kept it back from us because he loves us, an evil that he withheld. Next thing I want you to think about is evidence of his truth. Can you think of one truth that God has brought home to you in recent days, or even in the past? It amazes me how God's truth is something that, as it says here, it endureth to all generations. And there's things that he has taught through our Bible reading or through listening to preaching or even through other people, through mentors, that a message, I mean, a moment in time that God used something to transform your life. I can tell you a handful of times where I made decisions and that there are messages in my mind and my heart that I will never forget. At least I haven't forgotten. I know my memory is going. It seems like it goes a little bit more every day. But there's times when God specifically said something to me that it resonated. It's something that makes sense. And that is a truth that he's using to transform my life. I remember when I finally answered God's call to preach, and the preacher was preaching about Samuel and hearing from the voice of God. Boy, that really spoke to my heart. That's one of those times. I remember the night I got saved, and the message that was there and the response, there was truth. And even here recently, a couple of the things on Sunday, and that there's a lot of smaller truths that God impressed. When those disciples, as I was studying, and the disciples, Jesus is talking about dying, and Peter rebukes him. Jesus is talking about dying, and everybody and the guys over there, even though they did not have the spiritual power to help the demon-possessed boy, he says, you're going to have to learn how to pray, and you have to learn how to fast. And what were they doing while they were traveling? And they were talking about who was going to be the greatest. And then the response when Jesus tells them that he's going to die, they're going to spit on him, they're going to scourge him, they're going to crucify him, and he's going to rise again. You know what they're talking about? Once again, James and John says, can I be the greatest? And then we see the story about Peter, James, and John sleeping in the garden, even though he says that his soul was exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. And I saw all those responses, and fresh and new this past week. And when I looked at that, I was thinking that Jesus is talking about one of the most traumatizing things that would happen to any individual. And all they cared about was themselves. And it reminded me that how much a mess that this world is in and how bad things are. But it seems like many times all we're focusing is on ourselves and how things are reacting. And there's just spiritual truths that he drove home to me that day when I was studying and came across, look at this and look at this, look at this, look at this. And he does that. And I am so thankful for that. And I praise him for that because I don't deserve that. You don't deserve the truth that you get, and how he speaks to us, and he is kind because he reminds us over and over. But what is one truth, or maybe a truth that you heard recently? Maybe it was the idea, hey, God, I just want to be used. When you looked at the story in Nehemiah, or maybe something in your own personal Bible reading, because that's where I get more, because I'm the one that's preaching, so I don't always get to hear it like as much as you do. And I listen to plenty of preaching throughout the week, but it's when I'm reading the Bible and God opens up things, it's just, it's amazing how God works. We should praise him for that. And there are certain things that no one can ever take away from me. Certain Bible truths, certain times when I come by a certain passage of scripture and I see that, and I know God showed me something, and God talked to my heart, and that is a truth that changed my life. Now, we're hoping that happens every single day. Anytime a person gets up to preach, they're hoping and praying that God will work on a person's heart just like that. But sometimes there's more impactful, and sometimes there's more memorable times. This upcoming week and Sunday, we're getting to be in, we're going to finish up Mark chapter number 10, and that's the story of Bartimaeus. And I preach Bartimaeus because it's one of those impactful moments in my life, but there's a whole new truth that I never even realized and saw again. And I'm excited to tell you on Sunday about it. And even though you've probably heard me preach about it 3 or 4 times in the last 20 years, and because that was a moment in time in my life that God got my heart right, and I realized I needed to get to God. And there was, and I'm thankful for that. If I will take time to remind myself of the truths that God has taught me, it will change the way we look at things. We'll want that more often. As I'm reading through passages of scriptures and I see how God spoke to my heart and how God reveals even new things. Now, there's not private interpretation, but as you study the Word of God and as you understand the Word of God, God continues. It's a living Word. He continues to pull layer and layer after layer, and you begin to learn and understand and grow more. As with this passage of scripture, we've looked at it, but we've never considered it. Hey, let's focus here on the goodness of God. Let's focus on the mercy of God. Let's focus on the truth of God. If you will take time and ask him, write down things. Now, this piece of paper could get filled up very quickly, but if every day you would take time and say, remind yourself of a reason to praise him. These are personal things, but this connects with the goodness of God, and this connects with the mercy of God, this connects with the truth of God. But there are so many attributes, his holiness, the fact he's a just God, the fact that he's a loving God. There are so many different things you can praise him for. There are so many different things that you could spend time worshiping him for, and that's what he's saying here. When you focus on those things, you know what's going to happen? You're not going to want the cheap substitutes of the world. You're not going to want to worship what you know not, because we worship our opinions or we worship people, and we get to the point that we act more like them than we do God. And we allow people to dictate who we should be and what we should look like and how we should act. But what we should be doing is falling before our face, before a God who has been good to us and who's been merciful to us, whose truth can change our lives if we let it. It goes beyond being a head knowledge and becomes a heart knowledge. It becomes something that increases our praise. As we see, we make a joyful noise. He's entering into that joyful noise is something that he's coming and he's bringing a noise before the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. This last part of verse number 4, it says, and bless his name. See, we desire blessings. I do. I mean, we've talked about blessed. We talked about all the physical blessings we have. And we've talked about the type of life that God blesses. And we talk about the spiritual blessings. We've looked at that all year long. I want to be blessed by God. But he says, bless his name. It is the Lord who is worthy of blessing. We should bless the blesser. How do you bless the blesser? I mean, how is it that you actually bless the blesser? How do you bless his name? And it's with praise. The Bible talks about how he inhabits the praise of his people. People say, well, where's God at? Where does God live? People say, well, he lives in heaven, or he lives in my heart, and he's everywhere. But the Bible specifically says, I think it's in Psalms 22, he inhabits the praises of his people. And if we will learn to bless his name, go to the God of all blessings and bless his holy name. Bless him for his goodness. You have no problem praising him when you remember, you know what, God's been really good to me. I didn't deserve to be born in this area. I didn't deserve to have these parents. I didn't deserve to, if you love your church, to be part of this church family. I didn't deserve. We think about all the goodness of God and all the things he's done for us. It can be overwhelming. That's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be overwhelming. So we focus on that instead of the cruelty of the world. No, we don't put our head in the sand. Instead, we keep our head looked up. And we don't let the people around us and our circumstances dictate us. We see the goodness of God and we not allow this world's ugly substitutes to steal away that goodness. Because that goodness of God's going to lead you to repentance. You're going to want to be thankful and you're going to want to stay away from that sin. But when we begin to touch and taste and be tempted with the sin, we begin to forget the goodness of God and what this other substitute or ugly thing is trying to pull you away. So when's the last time you actually took some time to bless his name? And I'm not talking about some type of mechanical thing. I really enjoyed that hour with the Lord that was from Baptist College of Ministry, the things I've taught myself even before Baptist College of Ministry came. There's a program there that they use to try to help people, but that's just a guideline. And I love the fact that they have like 10 pages of different things that talk about different characteristics of God and verses that back them up and things like that. And I think those are all good things to learn. But that should be the beginning stage. As we learn and we grow and we understand, we focus on that. And we don't just read it to say, oh, that's nice, that's good. We let it impact us. We let it change us. We see the goodness of God, and because it's the goodness of God, we draw closer to him. When we understand his mercy, and we realize he's held back so much from us that I have no reason to complain. I have no reason to fight against God. He's the one that has kept so much back from me. You can imagine where I would be if it was not for God. Could you imagine where you would be without God's grace and God's mercy? You know, the first thing you write on that list is hell. You know, that's where I deserve to be. But God's mercy, I've been withheld from that, and I'm going to be withheld from that. And then there's the evidence of his truth. Truth is something that will change our lives when we allow God's truth, not man's truth, God's truth to impact us. Because man's truth sometimes contradicts God's truth. And it's a whole gamut of things. It's the whole package. People like to pick and choose certain things of this, and they focus on that one thing. But we must see it as a whole from the whole Bible and see truth as it is written in his word. So bless his name. So tonight, I want to encourage you. And I want you to start working on that prayer list. If you don't already have the praise list, unless you already have one, I bet you many of you do. If you listen to those other times, you take time to praise him. But specifically in the next few days, take those three spots and just begin to think. And write a new one down every day and don't do it quickly. Pray about it. Let God bring things to your memory because that's how he's going to speak to your heart. And in each category, just write down one thing a day. Maybe do it for a week. Spend some time thinking about him. Say, Pastor, I'm a really busy guy. If you're too busy to praise the Lord, you're too busy. Because of the fact that, once again, the Bible, if you look at it, talks just as much about praise as it does power, or prayer. But what do we do more? We do a lot more asking than we do a lot more praising. And so I pray you guys will take this, take it seriously, take it home, think about it. Because it shows up in your life. It shows up in how you act. It shows up in how you behave. It shows up in the attitudes that you have. Am I right with the Lord? Because there is fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That list, it should be evident in our lives. Other people should see that. And it's not always seen. If we would learn to praise him, then we will see the goodness of the Lord. And it's going to want us to stay away from the wickedness. It's going to lead us to repentance. I don't want to have anything to do with that because I love God so much. You say, Pastor, I'm struggling with that because of the fact that I love my sin and I don't know how to get over it. I don't know how to spend some time praising him. I think it was Lester Roloff that said, there are times when you have to, and I'm not quoting it exactly, but I thought it was interesting. There are times when you can only praise your way through it, that you're not going to be able to pray your way through it. What he means, well, there's times in your life when situations are so dark, so tough, and so hard that you pray and you pray and you pray, you ask and you ask and you ask, and you don't feel like you're answering the Lord. The Lord's not answering your prayer. But if you will take time to praise him, you will take time to lift him up. At the end of lifting him up for a period of time, you'll see how great a God he is. It will be able to help you take that next step. But if you're praying and praying and praying, which is just asking God, I need you to take this away. God, I need you to take this away. God, I need relief. God, I need you to do this. If you'll take time to seeing that he is God, that he has always been good, that he is always, he's been merciful to you. Maybe he's not being merciful right now because he's allowing you to go through something, but he's been merciful to you so many other times, and you praise him because of the fact that his truth has spoken to your heart time and time and time and time again, and you've let the truth of the word of God. He says, if you can praise your way through some situations you just can't pray through because of the fact that you have the wrong image of what God is. It becomes one day, it's like a vending machine. God, I have to have this. As you learn to praise, it will help you take that step. Lord, thank you for what you let me go through. I don't always understand it, but I know you've always been good. You've showed me your mercy so often, and your truth has changed my life. I'm trusting in you. I'm praising you for all these different things. It's a whole different perspective. It's one where our hearts and minds are focused and meditating on the God and the Word of God. The Bible says that's when you're going to be blessed. Blessed is the man. Joshua chapter 1. That's when you have good success. So tonight, let us spend some time just considering our praise. And tonight, we're going to have our invitation time because we already wrote down the things now. And I don't want anybody to turn these in. These are for you and you alone. If you want to share them with your mate, that'd be great. If that's what you think the Lord wants you to do. You should be able to discuss spiritual things with your mate. You should be able to share things. This is the thing that, you know what, I'm the most thankful for his goodness. Now, something might be personal, or the mercy he showed me here, the truth he showed me. I'm sure there's something you can. You should not be ashamed to be able to talk and do spiritual things with your mate. You should be willing to pray with your mate. You should be willing to visit with your mate. You should be willing to read your Bible with your mate. And some people don't. We just don't do that. Why? So I want to encourage you tonight. Spend some time, more invitation time, whether here at the altar or at your seat. I know many of you guys don't come to the altar very often. I think you should let the Lord lead you to do that. Don't think you should let the devil stop you from doing it. But I think you should let the Lord lead you to do that. But spend some time thinking about these things that God has spoken to your heart about what you're thankful for, his goodness. Also praise him for the mercy he's shown you, and also praise him for his truth. Let's go ahead and pray.